Well, just over a week ago, disability advocate Shane Hyhorek was asked to leave a Virgin flight over an issue storing his portable wheelchair motor. Here is part of the video that he uploaded about the incident.
I flew four flights in the last week. I've had absolutely no issues with Virgin Australia.
And they've done the wrong thing then, just to accommodate you.
So I'll repeat myself again. I can't fit anything here. There's a bollard here, and my service dog is taking up all this seat.
Virgin Australia has since apologised for that, but this really highlights some of the very challenges that Shane has spent years fighting. Before 2007, he had no idea what someone living with a disability might face in their lifetime, until he had a catastrophic accident that left him with spinal injuries. It made him rethink life, and in the years since, he's gone on to become an advocate. He's built a business as well as a charity aimed at improving access to his beloved beaches. Shane Hyhorek is the founder of charity Accessible Beaches, as well as disability equipment provider Push Mobility. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you so much.
It's really great to have you on Changing Australia today. I just want to run through what was happening on that flight and fill in the gaps for me, because what you've gone through seems to be so emblematic of what a lot of wheelchair users go through. You're on this flight, third or fourth flight that you caught this week with Virgin. You're in the third row that they've allocated you to sit in, where your service dog is allowed to sit next to you. You're unable to fit this wheelchair motor in the space in front of the seat, and the staff incorrectly assess that item as a battery type item that has to be stored next to you instead of the mobility aid that it is. So tell me about that moment, and then what happens when they ask you to disembark?
Yeah, wow. Look, I mean, as a wheelchair user, I travel a lot, so I go on a lot of planes, but this travel experience was certainly a little bit different. And here I am, I'm on the plane and I'm already on my seat, and then all of a sudden one of the flight attendants come up to me and said to me that my power assist needs to go by my feet, and that's never happened before. And I explained to them that it always goes in the overhead. They could see that in front of me, where I'm sitting in row three, there isn't any room anyway for the power assist to go. And then there was a lot of back and forth, and over about a 20-minute period, this just kept escalating and escalating, and to the point where instead of finding a solution, they simply said, well, we're going to have to kick you off the plane. And unfortunately, that's what ended up happening. And it was a really awful experience. And for me, it was a tipping point. After flying for many years with disability and experiencing everything and a lot of terrible experiences over the last 20 years, this was the one that, yeah, put me over the edge, and I really needed to share it with the world and hopefully use my experience to bring about change.
The company has apologised, and you've actually been meeting with them. Tell me how those conversations have been going.
Yeah, I've had a few discussions in just a recent meeting. And look, I'm really hopeful that the airline will take this seriously and use this as an opportunity to improve the way that people with disabilities are treated when flying. And I'm really glad that the airline has admitted that they got it wrong. And a mobility device like a smart drive is allowed to go in an overhead compartment, and it doesn't need to go in a bag because it's protected by its own casing. And it's great that the first step, you know, sometimes airlines don't admit when they got it wrong, and in this instance they certainly have, which is good. And I'm really hopeful that I will potentially have some news to share potentially next week. But look, I mean, it's great to see airlines starting to take this seriously, and it's not the first time things like this has happened. People with disabilities are terrified to fly because of challenges that we face every day. And we need to change that story. We need to change that narrative.
Can we go back almost 20 years now? Can you talk to me about, you know, what life was like before 2007, before this serious pool accident that you had?
Growing up, I was always very active and spent a lot of time on the beach. Actually, I used to be a surf lifesaver at Grange and Henley Beach, and very active, and disability was something that I didn't have any interaction with or know much about. And yeah, I used to also DJ and work in clubs and was very, very active. So it was interesting because I had no idea about what challenges were faced by people with disabilities. And I think that's really quite interesting because so many people in the world and in Australia don't quite understand sometimes what people with disabilities face every day, and I was one of them. And it's not until you have a family member or your own lived experience or a friend with a disability that you realise some of those challenges that people with disabilities face every day.
And how did that make you reevaluate, you know, how you were living your life, and how did you actually lean into that? Because, you know, I believe you're reading books around it, around self-improvement, right?
Yeah, it was actually really interesting. Before I had my accident, I was reading a book, and it talks about mindset and explains how the brain works and subconscious and conscious. And one powerful tool that I really took in is about what goes through your thought process and how powerful your thoughts can be. And it was really interesting because I was reading this book, and then, you know, a week later, here I am in a hospital bed after breaking my neck and just came out of a coma. And I remember after I came out of the coma, I was just so happy to be alive because I remember drowning, and I remember the fight to stay alive, and I'm laying in the hospital bed, and I knew my body was broken, but I was just so happy to be alive. And at that point, I realized, you know, there is so much negative stuff that's going on right now, but if I try to find a way to think about positive stuff and think about things that I can do rather than things that I can't do, then that will hopefully set me up to be able to manage this disability as best as possible.
It's Luke Sidham-Dundon with you in the chair for Sally Sara on Radio National Breakfast. You're listening to Changing Australia today. My guest is disability advocate Shane High-Horrock. The positive things that I guess you were able to turn your mind to, one of them clearly was the beach. Tell me about the challenge, though. If you're in a wheelchair or you've got other mobility issues, what's the reality of actually getting there and being there? Because it starts well before you get to the sand, right?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because after my accident, I started doing a stock take, and very quickly you start thinking about things you can and can't do, and the things that you can't do, you simply then put out of your mind so you don't, because when you think about things that you can't do on an ongoing basis, that's what makes people feel depressed and upset. And one of those things I just put out of my mind was going to the beach. I just assumed that was something that people with disabilities could no longer do. And a few years later, I was just on social media and on Facebook, and this was around 2014, and I saw a photo of a beach mat and a wheelchair icon on it. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, what is this magical tool? It looks like there is a product or an item out there that can make beaches accessible for people with disabilities. And at that point, I was amazed. And I ended up doing a significant amount of research. And I looked up every single beach product that existed in the world, and found a really amazing product in France, and which looked to me like the best beach product in the world. And, you know, within 12 months, we had that product in Australia, and we were rolling it out on beaches all around the country for trials and giving people the opportunity to test out the beach for the very first time.
And you did that. You've got your charitable organisation, Accessible Beaches, but then you've also built this business, Push Mobility, as well, you know, making beaches more accessible with this mat and other things that you talked about. Talk to me about those two businesses. Also, is there a conflict there?
Well, the way it started is that I first started doing research and found some amazing products. And so we started bringing them into the country and we started providing them to beaches around Australia. But shortly after doing that, I realised there was a problem. I realised rolling out a beach mat or providing a beach wheelchair to a council or surf club alone does not make a beach accessible. There is so much more work that needs to happen for a beach to be accessible. For example, there needs to be car parking, bathrooms, shade, footpaths, and the list goes on. And I realised that Australia, well, it needs to do a lot of work to be able to make not just the beach, but the environment around it accessible and change the way that we look at inclusion on our coastline. So shortly after, I set up a charity called Accessible Beaches Australia, which is to advocate to help make beaches accessible around the country and to work with local councils and surf clubs, but also to set up a website to provide information on what beaches around Australia are accessible. And since setting that up, Australia has now achieved around 100 accessible beaches in different forms. And it's pretty exciting because, I mean, well, there are a lot of beaches. There's 16,000 beaches in Australia and over 350 of them are accessible. So it's great to see 100 beaches become accessible, but it'd be fantastic to see many more become accessible in the future.
16,000. Shane, have you got a favourite?
Look, one of my favourites is Henley Beach, and that's in South Australia. And for me, that was really significant because shortly after setting up Accessible Beaches, we helped run a beach access day at Henley Beach. And it was such a emotional and such a powerful day, seeing hundreds of people with disabilities come down to the beach and test out beach accessibility. And the joy was, yeah, it was really, really powerful. And then the council saw the benefit. And next thing I know is that they've made beach accessibility permanent, and they've invested in a changing places bathroom and a storage lockup for beach wheelchairs. And now during summer, people can go down whenever they like and enjoy the beach. And that's what it's about. So to see an event turn into something that people with disabilities can enjoy all day in summer whenever they want is, yeah, it's a really, really rewarding result.
Shane High-Horrock, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you on Changing Australia this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.